This is the Kids Health Network, the health and psychology podcast for parents and carers of children.
The Kids Health Network is brought to you by GP and my daddy, Dr. Andrew Leach. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Today, I am privileged to be joined by a medical entrepreneur who is taking the idea that kids hate needles to the next level. My next guest took on this challenge to utilize virtual reality goggles, or VR for short, in medical practice. Can we actually reduce anxiety of procedures and tests using virtual reality? Dr. Evelyn Chan is a pediatrician, Rhodes Scholar, and the founder of SmileyScope. She claims that getting pediatric needles right is important, which it is, and it's certainly a fear-provoking exercise, and if we don't get it right, the consequences can include needle phobia, healthcare phobia, and healthcare avoidance. I certainly see kids myself who always ask, "Am I having a needle today?" as their first question. Dr. Evelyn wants VR goggles used more widely in medical care of our kids, and this is one area where technology can make a big difference. So thanks for joining me today, Evelyn.
Thanks so much for having me, Andrew.
Yeah, it's great to have you. And I know you are in the Children's Hospital in Melbourne at the moment, one of the children's hospitals there. So I know there may possibly be little interruptions along the way, which is fine, but I really appreciate you giving up your time. So questions I wanted to discuss, I wanted to start with looking at the research. So you've done a bit of research in this probably before you developed the project. What have you found by, you know, using technology like this in pediatric care?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So virtual reality has been used in healthcare for probably over 20 years. But because it used to be through sort of these really big computers and you had to be sort of strapped up and tied to lots of cords, it was really just used for research settings in pretty extreme pain settings. So they used it, for example, with burns dressings changes, and they found that that could help decrease some of the painkillers that were being used. And patients were finding that quite distracting and supporting of their care. Now that VR is so much lighter, you know, pretty much you can use it in your phone with a headset, it's meant that we're able to do a lot more research around it, and it's much more accessible to be used in kids. And so we did a systematic review. So we reviewed 12,000 papers and looked at different studies that had used VR or augmented reality, which means that they can see parts of the real world experience as well as some overlay of imaginary or computerized images as well. And what we found is that there was sort of lots of really interesting research suggesting that it could help with decreasing pain and anxiety in medical procedures. What we found at that point was that there wasn't a lot of sort of studies that were really coherent in terms of the quality control and, you know, the way they were randomizing patients or selecting them in different ways. And so we were keen to understand what would happen if we sort of ran this through a proper randomized control trial.
Okay, so that's what you took on then?
Yeah, that's right. So what we did was we actually tried to find some off-the-shelf VR products, but we found there were things like roller coaster rides or, you know, dinosaur walks, and that was probably a bit too exciting for a blood test, and it wasn't always age appropriate. So we actually had to design our own VR, and then we ran that through a randomized control trial.
You had to dull things down a little. I mean, a roller coaster ride may not help with settling the nerves of a kid, hey, but you worked out that other types of activities might be really good in this setting. And how did you research that?
Yeah, I think the best way to do that was really just ask the kids themselves. And so we actually talked to about 100 kids and families, you know, children who'd had needle procedures before, and some of them had been traumatic and some had gone well, and really said, well, where would you like to go if you were able to go anywhere in virtual reality during that needle? And about 90% of kids said underwater. And so we sort of started to work through, well, what would they like to feel and reimagine in that underwater environment? And so kids came up with this idea of, you know, we're popping on our diving goggles, which is the VR headset. Sometimes we're popping on an oxygen mask, which could be, you know, if they're going to sleep for a procedure. And then they're popping on a diving band, which is the tourniquet, and waves wash over their arms when we're cleaning with antiseptic. And then the child will look at fish and the fish come in and nibble at their arms. So they're able to reimagine the needle as sort of a fish nibble, which makes it a lot less scary.
Yeah, it's great. That's really good for kids to have a different understanding, a different imagination around that time. What do you think it is about ocean and water that is calming to kids, did they say in the study you did?
Yeah, we're not sure, but it was just one of those universal themes that a lot of people like the water and being around or close to it. And we deliberately made it in an animated form so that kids who may not necessarily have swum or like swimming still feel like they can enjoy that, and it's not as confronting as being right in real water.
Yeah, exactly. I should take a step back, because for the non-technological people out there like myself, what actually is VR technology? What actually happens when we put on VR goggles? What are they?
Yeah, great question. So VR goggles are essentially, it's a computerized environment which is 3D and interactive. And so you can actually pop on the goggles and look all the way around, so 360 view, and also interact with different things in that space. So, for example, the kids are able to look at octopi and catch those through just looking at, it's a gaze-based mechanism, and look at fish, or they might be able to walk towards something. So it kind of gives a really immersive feel that you're really in a new environment, but it is computerized.
Yeah, it's computerized, but it's quite realistic in a way that you're surrounded by the images, whereas we're used to sort of 2D images in the past. We're moving more towards being really immersed, as you said. That word's really good, because this is what it is. It's an immersive experience. And I know it's used in gaming technology as well, but I think we can probably expect to see VR used in more and more applications as time goes on, which I'm sure you found.
Yeah.
How did you become interested in this? What about healthcare in kids prompted you to go and do something like this?
So I think when you're in pediatrics, you really want to make sure that the child is comfortable with the process, and you're very aware that, you know, the things that happen early on in life, they remember for a very long time. And as you said earlier, can really change that healthcare relationship and the trajectory of their healthcare and future. And so we really want to make sure that these common experiences were actually as positive as we could make them. And so, you know, over time I developed different ways and got feedback from patients, as well as seeing other clinicians doing an amazing job of how do you distract a child and keep them calm during these procedures and talk them through that process. And then we sort of thought, well, how can we actually expand this so that people who don't always have that opportunity can get that access? And so technology is a great way to do that, because it means that we can get a lot of input from patients, as well as a lot of clinicians, on how they would do best practice. And so developing the VR, we had, you know, child life specialists, we had nurse practitioners, anaesthetists, people who look after pain in pediatrics, who all put their thoughts and ideas and how they would explain things into the VR narrative and storyline, so that the child can get a really good experience of, you know, being talked through a procedure.
Okay, so it can be used in different settings. It's not just sort of surgical procedures. We're also talking about dressings, vaccinations, any procedure where the child might be anxious. Is that right?
Yeah, I think in future it's definitely being used in that way. And then we'd also like to be able to bring in that more specific reframing for other procedures as well. So right now, this underwater adventure is designed for getting bloods taken or putting IVs in. But hopefully it'll also be for things like distraction for burns and dressing changes and all those sorts of things as well.
Mm. So does it come equipped with a script for the doctor to use when they start using this, or do you leave it up to the imagination of the doctor?
Yeah, we leave it up to the imagination of the doctor, yep. Or the nurse who's doing the procedure, because we really want them still all involved in that as well. But we find that they'll find their own way of saying things, and also getting the parents interested and involved. So everyone's kind of all focused on supporting the child during the procedure.
It's fascinating. Where have you got this currently being used? Is it out in practice now, out in hospitals, GP clinics? Is that the kind of setting you're looking to mostly have it used? And where is it being used at the moment?
Yeah, so we're being used in a number of both children's hospitals and general hospitals, as well as GP clinics. And we're hoping to be able to get this out in the community more broadly, so with vaccination clinics and maybe when you get your bloods taken as well. So we're still very much in the early part of this process of getting it out there and getting the word out. And we're also in a couple of places in Perth as well.
Oh, good. And are you getting good feedback about how it's being used so far? What are the kids saying?
Yeah, so we're getting great feedback, and it's a whole range. Every child is different and will respond differently, as you can imagine. But we find it works really well in the kids, probably aged around 4 to 12 years old. And we've had some kids, probably the most exciting ones are when they've had multiple needles and are quite scared. And so we've found some children with, for example, cystic fibrosis have found this a really helpful way of thinking about the needle. And before, they would have been sort of booked in for a general anaesthetic and very nervous about their blood tests. And now they're able to think about this and have the sort of positive coping skills to be able to get through the procedure without the general anaesthetic, which is really exciting for us.
It is. I'm sure it's rewarding for you to see that, the end stage of all the work you've put in. And what about stats? Are there any sort of statistics about how much this has improved the pain or the anxiety around procedures?
Yeah, so we ran a randomized clinical trial. So that was essentially looking at Smileyscope VR compared to current standard of care in 252 children in at two tertiary hospitals in Melbourne. And what we found was that in the kids in the VR group, they reported 60% less pain, 40% less anxiety. Parents reported that their children had 75% less distress and half the need to restrain children during that procedure.
Very exciting for you to see that that's actually making a real difference.
Yeah.
Are there any other technology sort of inventions coming out in the future that you've heard about on your journey that might be used in kids' healthcare?
Yeah, there's some really exciting technologies. One that springs to mind is another gamification technology, which is designed for attention deficit disorder. And so there's actually this beautiful game that they can play, which can help kind of exercise their ability to hold their attention for longer. And that's also being run through some really rigorous clinical trials, and we're starting to see that evidence come through. So that's definitely one that I'm keeping an eye on.
There must be some more gaps out there. You know, I feel like we're still catching up to the fast pace of technology. And I basically just wanted to thank you. How do people sort of get more information to hear about Smileyscope or find out about it? Do you have a website?
We do. It's smileyscope.com. And, you know, for us, it's actually our inspiration as the patients and the families who really are the experts who tell us sort of how they'd like to see the world and what we can do better as clinicians. So, you know, we would love to hear your feedback and also sort of advocate for when you want to have more technologies that sort of fit in the healthcare environment.
It's really well said. And look out for Smileyscope. It's going to be turning up in more and more places, I think. And we're very lucky to have it around that technology. So thank you, Evelyn, for your time today. And I hope we can catch up again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Andrew.
Thanks for tuning in to the Kids Health Network. Be sure to keep an eye on our Facebook page for updates.